You're listening to the Choosing Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Robison. Every day we have the choice to walk in the freedom Christ offers or to lay it down in surrender to something other than the abundant life we are meant to live. God is actively pursuing you. He has an amazing plan for your life, and that plan includes walking in freedom. The Choosing Freedom podcast is a place for us to discuss how we strategically apply the truth of who God says we are to the lies we believe and the challenges we face. So bring your brokenness, insecurities, and whatever holds you back, and join us for authentic conversations about real issues, real hope, and real life change. Of all the conversations we have together about claiming our identity and recognizing the lies we believe and applying biblical truths to set us free from all the things that may hold us back from our purpose, I believe this is going to be one of the most basic and foundational. This is the anchor for pulling it all together, for actually claiming the promises. This is the cornerstone for everything else that makes any difference in this life. We can listen to all the podcasts and worship music, never miss a Sunday service, read all the books, attend all the Bible studies, serve in all the right places, say all the right things. But if we don't pray, we relinquish our impact. We surrender our potential. We choose to go our own way without the spiritual covering available to us. We're going to dedicate the next few podcasts to this mountain mover known as prayer. I'm going to share some of my favorite resources with you, and I hope our time together will prompt you to go on a search of your own, to lean into what God wants to say specifically to your heart about communicating with Him. Prayer is how we begin our relationship with God. It's how we are saved from our sins. Prayer is how we confess our love and need for Jesus. It's how we ask for help. It's how we take authority over things in our lives that don't belong. It's how we ask for direction. It's how we ask for strength. It's what brings peace of mind and calm into our chaos. It's how we show our gratitude for a love we will never fully understand this side of heaven. Prayer is a necessary tool in claiming the fullness of our identity in Christ and walking in freedom. Prayer is simple and prayer is complex. It is simple in that we all have access to it, and it's complex beyond my wildest imagination because its potential cannot be described or contained. Prayer carries the authority of Jesus and the miracle of His extraordinary power. It's simple from the perspective that God wants us to talk to Him anytime, anywhere. It's complex when we overanalyze how to talk to Him, or we feel stuck in a place where we don't feel like we have the right or the worthiness to come to Him, or we think we need to clean up first. The complex parts come into play when we try to understand the spiritual depth of the prayer process within the limiting boundaries of our human minds. We try to make God into an image who thinks like we do, who somehow makes sense to us, who reasons like we do. An image we can in some way measure, therefore limit. We often picture Him as being out of reach or distant instead of constantly working on our behalf and cheering us on. Regardless of our perspective, it's a fact that most of us have an opinion about prayer, something that comes to our minds when we think of talking to Him. What are the first thoughts that come to your mind when you think about talking to God? This answer can be the breakthrough starting point to reestablishing another level of relationship between you and God. In Habakkuk 4:6, God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And I believe that knowledge about prayer is the key to unlocking everything else of importance. Prayer can be as small and insignificant as we choose for it to be, or it can be the catalyst that changes every single day. From now on, the choice is ours. Prayer can be used by the person who may be suffering and whose goal for today is simply to endure the hours ahead. Prayer can be used by the person who has just discovered their prayer warrior status, and they are pushing back the darkness by using their authority given through Jesus. And prayer can also be utilized by the leader who wields its sovereignty in a manner that changes a nation. It can be dabbled with and only used for holiday dinners, or it can be utilized to break generational strongholds and bring healing. In Luke chapter 11, we are told that one of Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. Matthew 6, 5 through 14 gives these instructions as well. And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed,'" which means holy, "'is your name.'" He begins with praise. Only after praising God does he present his request to God. And even then, he only requests daily bread. "Give us what we need for today." He goes on to ask for forgiveness for our trespasses. And I quote, "For we have also forgiven those who have trespassed against us." Jesus made forgiveness a necessity for a deeper relationship with him. For us to live in a state of unforgiveness, we are acknowledging that we have not fully embraced how deeply we ourselves need forgiveness. This is an area we will plan to revisit in upcoming episodes, because unforgiveness is one of, if not the, greatest obstacle to true freedom in Christ. Just as Jesus did, let's start with gratitude. Most often when I'm trying to shift the gears of my mind toward prayer, praise is what ushers me into a space of being able to push back the distractions and really focus on God. Sometimes it may take several worship songs before I can stop thinking about other things. And I've learned that it helps me to jot down what keeps distracting me so I can let go of the frustration of the distraction and the fear of forgetting to deal with it later. What is it that prompts you to experience gratitude? Consider bringing that into your prayer space. Prayer is simply a conversation. Sometimes we overcomplicate prayer and turn it into something it was never meant to be. We sometimes act like it's a formal event and we don't have the right outfit. Or we think we have to get all cleaned up before we can talk to God, like we have to get the house in order first. That is a lie. And the devil wants us to continue to fail at cleaning up our own messes, so we never quite make it around to praying. But prayer is how we get the house in order. Prayer is how our past is erased. It is how we begin the process of renewing our minds. I was studying the logistics of prayer with some recent college grads, talking about what it looks like, specifically for each one of them, to apply basic prayer principles. Popular opinion in the group was that we tend to overanalyze how to get started. Sometimes we can't figure out literally how to start the prayer, or specifically what words to say. And since we can't figure out the perfect prayer, we wind up not praying at all. Perfectionism can cause us to feel validated in postponing prayer because, after all, we're just trying to do it right. We'll pray when we feel more comfortable that we know how to do it. And there's another lie. There goes one more day when we left things to chance, when we didn't pray for someone else who really needs a divine rescue, a serious breakthrough. Another day when we chose not to lay down the burden that's strapped to our backs. When we were too worried about putting a bow on our prayer instead of going to war for the souls of those we care about. Instead of using the weapons of warfare we've been given, we chose to chase after perfection more than we chase after God. Don't be deceived by any voice that tells you there is a reason to postpone your prayers. I was talking with someone else who's going through a difficult season where some choices have been made that had some hard consequences. His comment to me was, "I'm so embarrassed. I feel distant from God. I know he's there, but I don't know how to put what I'm feeling into words." I think the questions and the thoughts we have about prayer are actually what often becomes our prayer. "Father, I'm so embarrassed. I feel distant from you. And I don't know how to explain how I'm feeling. Show me what you want me to know." Or, "I don't know how to start talking to you. Help me learn how to hear from you and how to be comforted when I spend time with you." in Jesus' name. If this is a challenge for you, let's think about normal conversations we have with friends. Think about the ease of those conversations with people we care about. Most of the time, we don't run out of things to say. So why is prayer so different? I think a lot of that stems from our perception of God and how we picture Him receiving or rejecting us when we come to talk to Him. We can tell Him what we've been thinking about. We can tell Him what keeps us up at night, the things we dream about, the good things and the bad things. We can be honest. Hebrews 4:16 tells us to approach the throne of God with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He doesn't say crawl. He doesn't say approach with our heads hanging down. He says come with confidence. He wouldn't tell us that we can find grace and mercy at His throne if He didn't know that we will show up in need of grace and mercy. That means He knows we are showing up with baggage, but He still tells us to come with confidence. Philippians 4:6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition," which means to ask for something we desire or need, "with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This scripture is inviting us to call out anxious feelings as soon as they rudely surface and to start giving thanks, to bring a grateful heart and then share our request. And then comes the promise of peace, the kind that's beyond our ability to understand, to guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus. There's a promise for your protection, for your heart and your mind. I pray you don't leave that promise on the table. Let's consider some options for praying in accordance with this scripture. It may sound something like, "God, we are so grateful that you are always listening, waiting for us to share our hearts with you, waiting for us to invite you into everything we have on our minds and on our to-do list. You tell us not to be anxious, so we come to you now. And we lay our anxious thoughts at your feet. Have your way with them. Replace the lies we believe about our circumstances, about ourselves, about your goodness with the truths you want us to know. Remind us of who we are created to be. Remind us of your faithfulness and that you never intend for us to walk or feel alone. Thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you that the door of communication with you swings open wide. Give us a hunger for more of you that nothing else will satisfy. In Jesus' name, amen." Spending time in prayer will dramatically impact how we see the day. It's inevitable. Not spending time in prayer will also have a dramatic impact on how we see the day. That is also inevitable. In a little book called Let Prayer Change Your Life by Becky Tirabassi, I discovered some practical truths that helped shape my perspective on prioritizing prayer in my life. She confessed that her normal day was a hustle and bustle, only to figure out at the end of the day, after she crashed and burned, that she would have been much better off consulting God first thing. She tells of how she intentionally set aside a time to pray every day, and that as she began this process, quote, "A million swept under the rug personality flaws flew out from everywhere. Things I had been holding inside so that no one would see what I was really like." She tells her story of being both the child of an alcoholic and an alcoholic herself. But as she intentionally set aside a time with God each day, He began to unravel, unfold, reveal, and heal the mess that was within her. She acknowledged that prayer on the surface may seem boring, perhaps because most of us are inspired and motivated by the excitement of heart-throbbing music and testimony, and yet we possess little or no knowledge of the power released when one prays. And then she said, "Wouldn't that just suit the enemy's cause? Disguise prayer as tedious, powerless, geriatric, and religious, and you'll keep believers away from it 99 out of 100 times. But if prayer was so boring, why didn't the disciples ask Jesus to teach them how to perform miracles and healings instead of asking him how to pray? Who started the rumor that prayer is so boring? She goes on to say that in truth, the vast majority of us fall into the classification of ignorance, not rebellion, not conscious avoidance, but simply not knowing the truth about the power released when one prays. The result? Powerless Christians who find Bible reading and praying too time-consuming for their daily lives, who think those things are okay on Sundays or when an urgent need arises or when all else has failed. Unquote. Let's admit it. We can lead Bible studies and do all sorts of religious servant activities, but if we fail to pray, we are missing the mark over and over and over. If you're thinking that your schedule doesn't allow time for prayer, I urge you to commit to make the effort. Ask God to multiply your minutes for the things that are most important to Him. Ask Him to help you make time to seek Him first. Consider any obvious time wasters in your schedule. One of mine fits in the palm of my hand. I have to closely monitor my own phone usage, as there seems to always be some kind of distraction coming from it. Consider any opportunities the day holds, even the length of time you sit in a drive-through line or commute from one place to another. You know the details of your day. Where might there be a few spare moments? You may be pumping gas or loading the dryer. This may ruffle a few feathers, but consider waking up 15 minutes earlier. Too much? How about 10? What is it worth to you? To those you would be lifting in prayer if you chose to take the time. Once you find the peace prayer brings, your mind will start to be transformed and you will find it easier and more desirable to talk with Him. Prayer is our power source. In Matthew 21:13, Jesus didn't say, "My house will be a place of the best dressed," or "a place of incredible potluck suppers," or "the most organized administrative council meetings," or "well-attended Sunday sermons." Jesus said, "My house will be called a house of prayer." Without it, we are poorly equipped, we are exposed, we are underachieving. We are running on our own strength and straddling the fence that divides obedience and disobedience with a hard lean toward disobedience. And we are not winning. Let's talk practical application. Author Andrew Murray said for us to go into our quiet place of private prayer, and I quote, "However cold and dark your heart may be, do not try in your own might to force yourself into the right attitude. Bow before Him and tell Him that you know that He sees in what a sad state you are and that your only hope is in Him. Trust Him with a childlike trust to have mercy upon you and wait for Him. In such a trust, you are in a right relationship to Him. You have nothing. He has everything." Unquote. Pastor Vlad Savchuk gives us a few basic principles of prayer in his YouTube video entitled Beginner's Guide to Prayer. He references the scripture which tells us to close the door behind us when we go to pray. I personally haven't thought of it in this way, but Pastor Vlad refers to this as, quote, "closing the door of distraction, turning off your phone's notification." The door is your phone. The best thing you can do for your prayer life is to leave your phone in the other room. If you're constantly distracted, you won't have intimacy. God cannot have intimacy with you if your door is wide open all the time. Unquote. Psalm 149 says God finds pleasure in His people. Pastor Vlad suggests that we are open and honest with God about how we feel, that we tell Him when we don't feel anything, yet still we show up. He says God wants our presence, that He wants to love on us. May we not go to prayer out of obligation, but because God misses us so much when we don't go to Him in prayer. He has a desire to be with us. Can we just pause for a minute and consider that God longs to spend time with us, no matter what our current circumstances? Pastor Vlad says to seek after God doesn't mean we show up to the prayer room and he's not there and we have to go looking for him. He's waiting for us because his heart longs for ours. Seeking God means that we want to get emotionally closer to him. With our affections, we want to come near to him. This is a big one. I love this quote from his teaching. When we miss a day of prayer, don't feel guilty. Feel hungry. Train your mind not to feel guilty because God wants a relationship, not a religion. Mic drop moment. Did you hear that? God wants a relationship, not a religion. He said if we miss a few days of prayer, instead of saying, God, I'm sorry, we should say, God, I missed you. That's relationship. He gave an example of traveling out of town to a conference and returning home to his wife after a few days. And he says, I didn't say, babe, I'm so sorry. I said, I missed you so much. Quote, this will change your dynamic and your appetite for prayer. It won't be some harsh cross to carry. God truly delights in you. He finds it offensive that we find our time with him as some kind of a beating to our flesh, as some kind of gruesome discipline. And lastly, if you commit a sin, never use sin as an excuse to skip your time with God. For starters, he saw the sin take place in HD, but he does not cancel his appointment with you that day. Unquote. What was God's response to Adam and Eve in the garden? He did not shame them. He knew what they did, and he went to spend time with them, to talk to them about what had taken place, about why they were hiding from him. God showed up. And in Genesis 3:21, God made garments of animal skin to cover their shame. A lot had changed because of their choices, but God still wanted to be with them. Here's one more of Pastor Vlad's quotes that really hit home for me. Quote, the most liberating thing you can experience is if you will outrun the devil to God when you commit sin. Don't hide from God. Hide in him. Unquote. Struggling with sin doesn't cancel your appointment with God. He will show up for you. He is expecting you. He longs to spend time with you. What if we plan ahead now? That we will run to God when we fail, to hide in him. What if for a moment we flip our perspective from having perfect words or even asking for anything to just showing up to fellowship? What if we just think about hanging out with God for a few minutes? No list of requests, just show up. Maybe some praise music, a time of thanksgiving. What might that look like for you? Does it feel kind of weird to just be there listening and not really knowing what we're listening for? That's okay. What if we anticipate something good, a nurturing that might set the tone for the rest of the day, an opportunity to be filled up, to be strengthened, to be given courage, a chance to armor up before stepping onto the battlefield of today, before the rest of the world gets a chance to have its way with us? An expectancy, if you will, for something that refocuses our point of view onto higher things. What may our prayers usher in? In tangible terms, I like to think of a massive balloon drop. You know, the kind you may see at a huge celebration. Picture thousands of balloons overhead, within our view, but out of reach, until the ripcord releases them. But until the ripcord is pulled, or the prayer is prayed, all of the power, just like all of the balloons, remain just out of reach. The lyrics to the song, The One You Love by Elevation Worship, might help us shift our perspective from feeling like we are chasing after an aloof, detached, unapproachable God who isn't concerned with our daily struggles, to reminding us that we are, in all actuality, pursued by an all-knowing, ever-compassionate God who loves us fiercely. The song goes like this. I can be real with you. Say anything and not be afraid. You made me and you like what you made. You made me and you don't make mistakes. I can be real with you. You take me just as I am. You choose me all over again. I am the one you love. I don't have to prove anything. There's room at your table for me. I am the one you love. It's me, the real me. I know you're proud of me, even though I don't deserve it sometimes. No, I'm not a perfect child, but I still make my father smile. I know you're proud of me. You take me just as I am. You'd choose me all over again. I am the one you love. I don't have to prove anything. There's room at your table for me. I'm the one you love. Your love never fails. Let's close our time together with a prayer. Father, open our eyes and our hearts that we might better understand your amazing love for us. Help us comprehend the many ways you lavish your love over us. Thank you for the way you welcome us into relationship with you, the way you want to spend time with us, the way you protect us when we don't even realize it, the way your hand is always providing for us, even when we don't understand. You never leave us or forsake us. We pray to know you better, for spiritual blinders to be removed, for wisdom and discernment and clarity. Teach us to pray in a way that honors you and prepares us to accomplish the things you created us to accomplish with boldness and courage as you intended. In Jesus' name, amen. No prayer is too small. No prayer is too big. No time of day is the wrong time of day. It all counts. God is writing your story, and you get to participate. Claim your identity and choose your freedom.
Thank you for listening to the Choosing Freedom podcast. If this episode blessed you, please help others find us. First, we hope you will subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Then, if you're enjoying the show, take a moment to rate and review the podcast. This makes it easier for others to find us, and it is a great way for us to get to know a little bit about you. We would also love for you to share this episode with someone you care about. You can follow Choosing Freedom on Instagram and Facebook at Choosing Freedom Podcast and on Twitter at IChoseFreedom23. If you or someone you know have a testimony that relates to your freedom in Christ and you would like for us to consider reading it on a future episode, email us at choosingfreedompodcast@gmail.com. We are so grateful for you and look forward to our next time together on the Choosing Freedom Podcast.